Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, for our Bible study today, I want you to make sure you have your Bible open to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And in just a moment, I'm going to read verses 10 and following. But I want you to find that. And while you're finding that, I want to share something that I share whenever we preach God's word here. And it basically says this: we have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race and every skin color, we come from different economic backgrounds, we live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time and some just got married. Some have kids and some don't have kids. Now, many watching today are believers, but not all. But we're all watching today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels our church to share Jesus Christ and to make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. And he is wonderful. Well, we are in our Ephesians study. If you remember, chapters 1 through 3, we titled that Understanding the Grace of God. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 are walking in the grace of God. Some people have said that the first section is on doctrine, the next section is on duty. The first section is on theology, the second section is on practical matters. The first section is your position in Christ, the second section is your practice in Christ. So we are in the section of your practice in Christ. And I have a question: are you dressed for battle? Are you dressed for battle? Let's look at our scripture and you'll understand why I say it that way. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, the scripture says this: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Verse 13, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." That's an interesting phrase right there. "And having done all, to stand." Now, that's our text for today, but I want to read a few more verses because it talks about the armor of God specifically. Verse 14 says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Well, I'm concerned that we have the armor of God. Paul was giving us a worldview that says that we are in a war, we are in a battle. Just a few moments ago, I mentioned Memorial Day, and I just always rejoice in this. There was a teenager in our church, his name was Mark Sloan. Our city, our county, had a contest who could design the Kanapahal Veterans Memorial. Well, Mark Sloan, as a teenager, sent in his design, and if you go to the Kanapahal Park and look at the Veterans Memorial there, you'll notice that it was designed by Mark Sloan, one of our North Central teenagers here. He went on to go into the service and has had a stellar career in the service. One of the things that he did in his design is he talked about that he made a walk of the wars, and it shows in every war how many people have died. Do you realize that in the Civil War we lost more Americans than any of the other single wars? And you see that visually when you go there. The truth of the matter is, we're in a war. Church family and those listening today, we are in a spiritual battle. that was exhibited to me. Now, it's not a physical battle, but it is a battle in the spiritual realm. But it became clear to me when I was looking in Billy Graham's book on angels. And in his book on angels, he told the story of a missionary family that was in a remote place, and there were warriors, there were bandits that were outside of their gate, and they were going to come and kill them. They had said that they were going to kill that family. And the family had no protection. They just had a little fence, and there was no protection. They got down on their knees after looking out that window and seeing all those warriors that were going to come and kill them. They got down on their knees, and they asked God for protection. Well, nothing happened. The people did not come and attack them, and they went on their way, and they continued their ministry. Years later, a man came up to that missionary and said, "I was one of those warriors." He goes, "Wow, where did you get all of those people that were protecting you?" And the missionary said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, we were standing there at your gate about to attack you, and all of a sudden, there were great warriors that were protecting you." And Dr. Graham gives indication that he believes, and it becomes obvious, that those were angels that God had stationed. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a spiritual battle. There's an unseen world in which there are the forces of darkness that are against God's people. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, that we are soldiers. The scripture words it this way. It says, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." So, folks, we are in a battle. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. Now, it says in our passage that we are to take up the full armor of God. And it says in a number of places that we are to stand our ground. How do we do that? Well, we do that by getting the armor of God. Now, so I've got three things I want to draw your attention to quickly as we look at this passage of Scripture. The first thing is this: how do you get the armor? How you get the armor? In verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now, the when it says be strong, it really means become strong. In other words, it is an imperative. Let yourself be strengthened is a great translation for that phrase, to be strong. Let yourself be strengthened, or strengthen yourself. It reminds me of Philippians 4:13 that says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Who is the one who has the strength? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Joshua was encouraged to be strong. In Joshua chapter 1, in verse 6, in verse 7 and in verse 9, the Bible says, "Be strong." In verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage," in Joshua chapter 1. And then in verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous," the Lord told Joshua. And then in verse 9, it says, "Be strong and of good courage." David was at a very discouraged point in his life. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 30 that he strengthened himself. It's the same concept. He allowed God to strengthen him. The scripture says this: "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." So we are to be strong, the Bible says, in the Lord and in the power of His might. Paul's readers would recall that this is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We see that in Ephesians 1:20, and brought them to life when they were dead in their trespasses and sins. The adequacy of the power of God is never in doubt. It is never in doubt. God has the power. So here's the truth. How do you get the armor? I'm going to tell you where you're going to get it. You're going to get it from God. You do not have the power to fight the enemy in the spiritual realm, but Jesus Christ does. And the Lord is telling us in this passage, church, He's telling us, if we're going to have victory, if we're going to have grace for victory, then we're going to do it by the strength that the Lord gives us. Here's the second thing. Not only how do you get the armor, but why you need the armor. Number two, why you need the armor. We find that in verse 11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Why you need the armor? Put on the full armor of God. Do you know that in the Old Testament, God is portrayed as a warrior? God is moving through history in battle. Spiritual battle for the souls of people. Spiritual battle for his people Israel. And ultimately for them to take the gospel to all the Gentiles. We find that in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 5 and Isaiah chapter 59 verse 17. So all these pieces of the armor that we read about in verses 14 and following, we see some of those even in the Old Testament. So you say, well, Pastor, you mean this armor that we're putting on in the New Testament is similar to the armor that is portrayed by God Almighty? That's exactly right. The full armor of God. Now, Paul was in a prison when he wrote this. He may have been looking at a Roman soldier and saw that soldier decked out in all his armor, and it may have reminded him spiritually that we have spiritual armor. But Paul saw this, and this is a very unusual term for Paul to use. Put on the full armor of God. He probably said it to emphasize that you have to have all the armor. So the question is, why do we need the armor? Well, God's armor is effective, for one. The second thing is, this battle is serious. It says we put it on so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. The word stand is a military term. It means to hold your position. It's almost like an athlete. If you're teaching football and you're a lineman, you learn how to get down in a three-point or four-point stance, and you learn to spread your legs out well so that you can be steady. And just about every sport there is, you need to have a good posture and a good stance in order to hold your position. And we know that's true in battle. Part of winning a battle is to hold your position. Well, this battle is serious, that you may be able to stand or hold your position. Against who? Against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles there means the schemes. It kind of has with it the word the stratagems. In other words, the strategy that the devil has. The armor is effective. The battle is serious. These strategies in the second century, 100 years from when this was written, probably meant that you would be able to withstand torture. But in this day, in the day that Ephesians was written, it probably was guarding against disunity in the church. So much of Ephesians is about the disunity of the church. And he says, he emphasizes that we should be in unity. And so you see the importance of that. And because the battle is serious. The battle is serious because the devil has a strategy. In Ephesians, he marks some of this strategy out in chapter 4, verses 25 and the verses surrounding that. He says that Satan tries to gain a foothold and exert his influence over the lives of Christians through uncontrolled anger. We see that in 4:26. Through falsehood, it says, get rid of lying in 4:25. Stealing in 4:28. Unwholesome talk in 4:29. Any conduct that represents the old way of life, these are the wiles of the devil. These are the schemes of the devil. He also wants to hinder the gospel. The devil does. He wants to hinder the gospel from going forward in the fulfillment of God's divine plan. We see that in Ephesians 1, verse 10. I can tell you this, prosperity can be a part of Satan's schemes. And church family, I think in our country, in America, that's probably the best, one of the greatest battles we face as we put on the full armor of God. We battle against the prosperity that we think means God's blessing. Now, anything that causes pressure in our lives many times is looked upon as negative. Anything that causes pressure, and that anything that can kind of hurt us or put us under pressure, you know, we want to get rid of it. So what do? We try to escape from anything involving commitment, anything that may involve some hard work and some pressure and some discipline that we need. And we realize that the ultimate in this world, in the American way of life, the ultimate is to find something that gives us pleasure, like money, like power, like amusement, like entertainment. And oftentimes, now hear me, oftentimes we're lulled to sleep and we miss being a part of what God wants to use us to do in this world because we have been lulled to sleep by a consumeristic society of materialism that robs us of being a witness for Jesus Christ. This is a scheme. Don't buy into it. This is one of the wiles of the devil. Because as we are faithful to Christ, we know we may suffer persecution. We know things may be difficult. But the goal of getting the gospel to our neighbors, getting the gospel to people that need Christ, getting the gospel to the world is worth laying that down and doing that. The full armor of God will allow you to recognize that. It will allow you to be effective in your ministry. So why do we need the armor? Because the armor is effective. The battle is serious. And the third thing is the battle is not against other people. It's not against other people. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And that wrestling is a hand-to-hand combat term. In other words, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Actually, in the Greek language, it says our wrestling is not against blood and flesh. It flips it. It's the only place in the Bible it does that. It flips it. But we don't wrestle with people. Our battle is spiritual. The struggle is not against flesh and blood, all right? But it's a spiritual battle. So the battle is not against other people. That's one of the reasons why you need the armor. This armor that we're talking about isn't for battling people. It's for battling against the spiritual forces of wickedness. Here's the fourth thing of why we need the armor, because this battle is a spiritual fight with an organized enemy. In that passage of Scripture in verse 12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but look who we wrestle against: principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Principalities, that word is a word that means preeminent ones. And then it says powers, that means authorities. And then rulers of this of the darkness of this age, one who aspires to world control. This is a picture of Satan and all his minions, Satan and his demons. And then it says the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. One commentator says this is a reference to astrology, where demons who held human lives in their grip were said to dwell. This is the heavenly places. This is the unseen world. It most likely means the unseen world. And so we see that these are personal demonic intelligences. They have run in a vast realm, and they are sophisticated, and they are organized. Think about this verse of Scripture in 1 John 5:19. It says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. This whole world, we're of God, but the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4 says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The God of this age has blinded those who do not know him. In our own book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 2, it says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. And then it says this phrase, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. There is an unseen world where Satan and his demonic forces are scheming against you. Years ago, there was a great gospel tract that begins like this: God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. I love that tract. But I want you to also know there's another truth. Satan hates you and wants to dirty up your life and wants to ruin your life. So we realize that this battle, this scheme, may come in the form of relativism, causing evil good and good evil. The devil has schemed in that way. I think about the C.S. Lewis book, The Screwtape Letters. Maybe some of you have read that book. In that book, wormwood is a learning demon, and he's learning how to discourage Christians from the hierarchy demons, the ones that are higher than him, and they're teaching him how to discourage those believers. Well, we can have victory over that demonic force when we put on the full armor of God. So how do you get the armor? Well, you get it from the Lord. Why do you need the armor? Well, because the armor is effective, the battle is serious, the battle is not against other people, and the enemy is organized. That's why we need that armor. But here's the very last thing. When you use the armor? When do you use the armor? Well, in verse 13 it says this, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand." In other words, you can hold your ground in the evil day. That's an interesting phrase. Many commentators and scholars believe that means that these are the days of evil right now in this church age. In other words, Satan is going around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so from the time of Jesus' birth to the time of his return, the second coming of Christ, is a period known as the evil day. So you need the armor of God right now. You need it right now. You need it every day of your life to put on that armor of God. But can I tell you this? You also need it especially for days that are particularly evil. And this scripture, when it says you need the armor of God so that you can withstand in the evil day, the article "the" is there. There is an evil day. You know that all days are not equal. In other words, there comes a point in time when you may be tempted in such a way that you need his armor at that moment, because at that moment you're at the point of making a decision that if you make the wrong decision, it could mark your life forever. It could take you on a road of destruction that would be terrible. And there are days when you have the armor of God, when you say, "Lord, give me the strength," and you make the right decision, that it sets your course, sets your life on a course that can change your life forever. And so when you use the armor, you need it now, and you need it on the evil days. The truth is, until we sell out to Christ, until we completely sell out to Christ, we put on this armor. Now, we're going to talk about it specifically next week in our message. But really, the bottom line is we are sold out to Christ, and we're saying, "Lord, we want to settle these matters in our life. Our life is in your hands." Until we do that, we won't have this kind of victory. We will not see grace for victory. Ravi Zacharias, the great apologist, died this week. Ravi influenced me in such a huge way. I never met him, but his writings were amazing. He put out a series of messages that impacted my life many years ago called the Harvard Veritas Forum. I encourage you to get that. He spoke at Harvard University, and during his talk there, he opened it up for an open forum, and students from Harvard, a very renowned, prestigious university in this world, began to ask him questions. With every question, he lifted up Christ. With every question, he unashamedly said that Jesus Christ was the answer for their lives, and it was very powerful. I was really sad to hear that Ravi died. He used to tell a story about selling out to Christ. He told the story of a little girl who had a bag of candy and a boy who had a bag of marbles, and the girl said to the boy, "Hey, if you'll give me all the marbles, I'll give you all the candy." And the boy said, "No, I don't want to do that." Well, he thought about it for a while, and he came back to her. He said, "Okay, I'll give you all the marbles if you'll give me all the candy." That boy wanted that candy. And so she said, "Okay, go get your marbles." So he went back to his room, and he opened up his little bag of marbles that he loved, and he picked out his most prized marble, and he slid it under his pillow, and he wrapped up that little bag, tied it up, and he took it out, and he said, "Okay, here's all the marbles." And she said, "Here's all the candy." That night, that little girl had those marbles in that bag, and she had it by her bed, and she slept like a baby. She slept with a clear conscience because she had given him all the candy. The boy sat there in his bed with that bag of candy, and he laid awake all night wondering if she had given him all the candy, because he knew he had not given her all the marbles. I think people, Christians, don't have victory because they've really never given Christ all the marbles of their life. really not said, Lord, I'm yours, lock, stock, and barrel. I give you my life forever. And when we have the full armor of God, when we have sold out our lives to Jesus Christ, we can count on victory. I hope you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today. I hope that you have given your life to Christ, because you really can't take on the full armor of God until you are a believer in Christ. You say, Pastor, I need that victory. I need God to give me victory in life. How do I do that? It begins by you giving your life to Jesus Christ. I did it as a teenage boy. I heard the gospel that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins, and he purchased me a place in heaven, which he offers me as a free gift, and I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I hope you will do that. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you do not know Jesus Christ in a personal way, I encourage you to get down on your knees. I know that you don't have to, it's not a magic posture that people get saved when they get on their knees, but it is a posture of yieldedness to God. I would encourage you to get down on your knees and say, Dear Jesus, I turn away from my sin. I know that I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. And I trust you to be my personal Lord and Savior. Why don't you do that today? And I'm going to have prayer, and if that's your heart's desire, I hope that you'll give your life to Christ. Make sure and listen to the testimony. Listen to the final song as we worship the Lord today. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. And if that's your heart, if that's your desire to give your life to Christ, why don't you say it to God in this way? Dear Lord, I know that I need you. I know that I'm a sinner. I need the forgiveness that only Jesus can bring. And right now, dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my life, forgive me of my sin, and save my soul. I give my life to you, and I want to live for you all the days of my life. Now, if you prayed that prayer, would you write me at pastor@gatorchurch.com? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this service today. I pray that you might bless each of our people as they live for you. Thank you for the opportunity we've had to share God's good news with the world today. We love you, Jesus, and we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.